Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
Why is a winning mindset important?
It's critical, actually. It's not just important, it's required. In order for you to do well at negotiations, you have to believe that you can do well.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
Welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung, and I'm super excited today to welcome Mark Raffin, who is a fellow podcaster and a fellow negotiation guru. And I'm super excited because we've been following each other's work and supporting each other in what we do. And he is a total expert in how to create a winning mindset, which is so important when you're dealing with a high conflict personality and narcissist. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you so much for having me, Rebecca. I love your show and I love what you're doing. And it's an honor to be on here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And so tell us a little bit about your background and history. How did you even come to be talking about negotiation?
Oh, man, good question. So right out of university, I started a career in sales and high ticket negotiations, paid off all my student loans in the first year through all my commissions, which was fantastic. Realized I had a knack for it and having persuasive and influential conversations. Then I went to the other side of the table. I worked in procurement for a very long time. And then a few years ago, I decided I wanted to do my own thing. So I decided to leave the corporate world and start what's now Negotiations Ninja, which is a training, coaching, and content company all focused on developing and delivering the most engaging negotiation content in the world, which is what we try to do every day. And so our entire goal is to make sure that people understand that negotiation can be taught. It's not something that is, native to only a few people and that only a few people can master. You can learn it. And there's a very specific way that you can learn it. And you can get better at it and you can get significantly more value out of life than you think you can.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love what you're up to, especially because a lot of my people, my viewers, my listeners, they just feel so beaten down. So, why is a winning mindset important?
It's critical. Actually, it's not just important, it's required. In order for you to do well at negotiations, you have to believe that you can do well. And I think it was Henry Ford that once said, whether you believe you can or cannot, you are correct.
And one of my favorite quotes in the whole
that
world.
That one, right? It's so powerful and it's so true because I don't mean to say you're not going through a difficult time and that your emotions around this are not real and the experiences that you've had are not real. And I certainly recognize that what you've been through is difficult, but it's important to realize that you can get through this and you can actually develop a negotiation strategy that helps you to win, because unless you start to change your mindset that you have power and that you have leverage, then you will never develop the strategy that's required to get the things that you need to get out of that negotiation. And when I talk about leverage and I talk about power, people think that, and it's natural for people to think this, given the experiences that they've probably been through, being in a traumatized situation like a lot of your clients have been or a lot of your listeners have been. But power in and of itself or leverage in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's been used by bad people, but it's not a bad thing. You get to use that as well. You get to use all of those things too. And you can use it for your benefit. Just because it's been used by someone else to hurt you or to hurt people that you love doesn't mean that it's not a tool that you could use. So I want to make sure that I distinguish between power being used for good and leverage being used for good and leverage and power being used for bad. They're not bad things. They're just tools that you can develop. And so once you get your mind wrapped around that, you can start to really think, okay, now what Mark is saying is that I can actually develop a toolkit around developing a proper negotiation strategy that allows me to utilize power and leverage as tools to help win this negotiation.
I love that. That's so right on point and so aligns with what I think too. And, you know, in my book, Negotiate Like You Matter, the M actually stands for my value is defined by me. And I tell people all the time, you and you alone define your value. And you have to kind of start with that. Because if you don't, you know, I always say 80% of a negotiation is won before you even walk into a room. But it's not all mindset. A lot of it is preparation too. But mindset is just so, so critical. So my question to you, though, is, you know, for these people, excuse me, who, you know, they just feel like the other person always has all the power. They're always winning. They feel that way, but that's how it's shown up for them in their lives. And they've also been traumatized. They just feel like their brain is scrambled eggs in some ways because they've been gaslit so many times, you know. So where do they even begin?
I think one of the things that people need to recognize is that they've been conditioned to believe these things. So yes, the feelings that you're feeling are real, but recognize that you've been conditioned over the course of this relationship to feel the way that you feel, to feel like you have no power, to always feel submissive, or to always feel like the other party is dominant over you. And it's literally a power play. It's called conditioning for a reason, because they've led you down the path to believe that you have no power in the relationship. And so a few of the different ways that they do it, there's a bunch of different types of power that they could use, but coercive power, which is like the use of threats and bullying, right? So if you don't do this, then, you know, you'll be in a lot of trouble, right? That coercive power has been played in your mind over and over and over again with the threat. And sometimes the follow through of the threat that if you don't toe the line, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so naturally your body's response, your mind's response is to go, oh shit, I'd better toe the line. Otherwise I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. Or, which is equally as bad, but sounds better, is reward-based power, which is where if you do this, I'll give you this, right? Here's your reward for toeing the line. Both are bad. There's a time and a place for them, don't get me wrong, and you can use those things in your negotiations, but if they're used by bad people for nefarious means to control someone or to control their life, then naturally your mindset is going to be, okay, I'm obviously subordinate to this person. They're more dominant over me. They're using this power. And you don't even realize that this is going on because this type of conditioning is being done, generally speaking, over the course of an entire relationship. And so you've developed this mindset of always being subordinate. Here's the thing. They're doing this on purpose. They're doing this to make sure that you always toe the line. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to be like this on an ongoing basis. And so recognize a place to start is just recognizing that these things have been used against you for a purpose of control. The second thing that I would say to you is...
Because I want to make sure I say something about that point, because that was a really, really excellent point.
Go for it.
And so what I see is a lot of times those threats are actually not even anything that they could follow through on. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm taking the kids away from you. You're never going to see the kids again. It's, I'm taking every penny and you're going to be living on the street, you know, and they believe these things and they come in and they talk to me as the lawyer and I go, well, that's a bunch of crap. So let's just push that one over and keep going. So, and they immediately feel better. And I think, okay, so people need to know that most of the time, the stuff they spew in a divorce situation, like in this coercive way, these threats that you're talking about, is usually a bunch of crap. So anyway, I wanted to make sure I say that before you go to the next point.
No, and let's talk about that for a second, because I think this is really important. This is why it's important to make sure that you seek counsel, right? Because you don't know, especially if you're not knowledgeable about what you're getting into or what these threats could mean. No one's going to blame you for not knowing. It's okay to be ignorant, but what's not okay is to not get help. Because now that you know that, you know, you don't know everything, you don't know about what's going on, get the help that you need. There's an amazing quote by Mark Twain, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but he says something to the effect of, I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which have never happened.
Right,
and so you're being conditioned to worry. You're being conditioned to expect the worst, and the likelihood of those things happen, not to say that it doesn't happen, I want to be clear, the likelihood of those things happening is pretty low. And so we're playing, and this is where it becomes difficult, because now you're playing your logos against your pathos, right? Your emotion against your logic, to determine what is real and what's not real. And to try, what I would recommend for most people is try your very best, and it's very difficult, I don't discount that, to remove emotion from the decision-making frameworks that you are going through, because your emotion only clouds your judgment. Look, we've been hunter-gatherers for the longest time in our existence, right? Thousands and thousands and thousands of years, we've been faced with scenarios of fight or flight or freeze, right? Yep. Saber-toothed tiger comes along, we've got a spear, it's fight or flight or freeze. And the way that the brain works, right, the amygdala and the hypothalamus are starting to interact with each other, and then it hits the adrenal system, and now it releases all of these stress hormones into your body, and so cortisol's rushing through, and you're freaking out. That is your body's evolutionary response to stress and threat. And no one blames you for that, because it's literally how your body has been evolved to survive for a long, long time. You've got to almost fight that evolutionary response to get through understanding what the next steps are going to be. Because if you let that emotion cloud your judgment, then you're not going to be able to make the decisions required to move this forward. And the only way for this to get better is for you to make very clear decisions about what you want your future to look like. Because without that, then you're always going to be stuck in this spot. And that's why it's so important to get the help that you need.
Oh, I love that. It's such a perfect, beautiful explanation. You put that so eloquently and explained it so simply so that people can really understand why it is so important to take that emotion out of it. I love that. So what is the second thing?
So the second thing that I think that you need to do on an ongoing basis is something that you recommend all the time, which is to document, to make sure that you've got your documentation prepared, planned, all that other kind of stuff. This happens in corporate negotiations as well as any any type of negotiation, really, the better prepared that you are, the better that you're going to do in the negotiation. Have that documentation laid out. Make sure you've got all of your supporting evidence. Make sure that you've got everything that lines up to ensure that you are best supported to your position going into that negotiation. Because without that documentation, without that preparation, without that strategy, it becomes significantly less likely that you're going to succeed in the negotiation.
100%, 100%, and learning how to organize it and all of that. And that's, you know, what I talk about in my programs as well, like just figuring out, because, you know, yes, you need to have a good lawyer, but, and that's what I was just talking about on my interview on your show, which is, yeah, it's important to have a good lawyer, but you can't just completely rely on the lawyer, because you are in possession of the majority of the information. The lawyer does not have ESP. So the lawyer knows the law, but you have the information. So, you know, you're the one that has to organize it and figure out how to present it to the lawyer so that the lawyer knows what to do with it.
Coming up, more of Rebecca's conversation with Mark Raffin, the negotiation ninja, on how to have a winning negotiation mindset.
I always say 80% of a negotiation is won before you even walk into a room. Would you agree with me or not agree with me?
100% agree. Yeah, I think the more that you can prepare and plan and get your mindset right and get the help that you need, you're much more likely to win that negotiation or to get a result that's favorable at least.
Not everyone needs full representation by an attorney on retainer. In fact, sometimes lawyering up can make things worse. At Hello Divorce, you get the best of all worlds. You get technology and legal professionals. You get some help along the way, and you get to do the parts yourself that you want to do yourself. Just $99 a month, cancel at any time. You can use their divorce navigator, think TurboTax for Divorce, to prepare all of your legal forms. Right now, it's available in California, but it will be expanding soon to other states. Sign up free and get a 15-minute free intro call and access to loads of curated resources, tools, and worksheets designed to make the divorce process affordable, transparent, empowering, and successful. Use the code HELLO50 to get $50 off toward anything you'd like. Just go to hellodivorce.com to get started today. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can learn more about how to get rid of negativity in your life so you can have a winning mindset, in shows such as Negativity Be Gone, Create Positive Flow with Energy Clearing for Life with Erica Glessing.
Beginnings of years are a time of renewal. It's a time when we let go of the old. It's really a time, basically January through March of each year is such a time of planting seeds. It's such a time of just like beginning something fresh and letting go of the self-criticism of the past. Because if you have been through a divorce, I went through a really challenging divorce myself. If you've been through a situation where you were kind of belittled or others, you know, when you change, people get really uncomfortable.
And now we return to today's show.
So, and do you have another point on beginning
mindset? Yeah, I do. I think even if you don't believe that you can be confident through this or you can be better through this, you get to fake it. And I know that sounds like a bit of a weird thing to say, but this is really important because the way that communication works is there's a sender and a receiver, right? In communication. So I send you a message, you receive the message, and then you respond to me. Most people get this mixed up in confidence, where they think, okay, I just have to naturally be confident through this, and I don't know how to do that. But what's shown to be true, and actually this is research that I believe was done by a Harvard clinical psychologist. Her name's Amy Cuddy. I don't want to misquote her, but what she said was to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, is the more confident that you act, the more confident that you will become. Because what happens is I act confident. That's the message that I'm sending to you. You receive that message. Then you treat me as someone who is confident. Therefore, I become more confident because now you respect me as someone who's confident.
It's so true, 100%. And I actually quote her in my book, Negotiate Like You Matter, because she, in her book, one of her books, and I can't even remember which one it is now, but she actually has these power poses that you should be doing to like make yourself feel more confident and to come across more confidently. Even with your body language. And Janine Driver talks a lot about that too. And in several of her books, like you say more than you think and things like that. So, I mean, even if you feel scared out of your mind, using those power poses are so important, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's been studies done on how much of your communication is nonverbal. And based on, and there's a number of disputing studies, but based on all of the research, it shows that the vast majority of your communication is nonverbal, which is how you show up, how you act, your tonal inflection, all that kind of stuff matters, right? So when people say, well, dress doesn't matter, of course it matters. Don't
100%.
Be ridiculous, right? It's so critical
that's
how
the
it's being communicated.
That's the T in my Negotiate Like You Matter is dress to a T, one of the T's actually, and create powerful body language because... Yeah, it makes a huge difference. I mean, you know how you feel if you're sitting there wearing the same sweatpants you've worn for 3 days compared to like, you know, a really awesome new suit or a fabulous dress that you think you look amazing in or whatever. I mean, you know, there's entire books written on that.
Yeah, so I would say make sure that you focus on acting confident, even if you don't feel confident, because acting confident will help you to become more confident.
Absolutely. And as I said in your show, my dad, I always quote my dad, and he used to say that whatever you say, say it with authority and people will believe you. I mean, Donald Trump did that all the way to the White House. I mean, everything he says is with authority. So, and people believe him. I'm not being political. I'm just making an observation.
I'm also cognizant to the fact that, look, we have different biases going into negotiations as well, right? And so there's a big pessimism, back to your first point, there's a big pessimism bias that exists with a lot of people where we have this tendency to overestimate how bad the future is going to be for us, right? So,
or overestimate the other person's ability to win.
Exactly. And so we think that we have less ability or less power than we have. And the unfortunate aspect of that is for the people that are going into these types of negotiations, they've been conditioned to build that bias in their mind. Not to say that being overly optimistic is a good thing. Don't get me wrong, right? Because there's also optimism bias. But I think there's a place for realism. And that's why the emotional aspect is so important to control. Because unless you can control that, it's a challenging time in your own head to get out of that situation.
Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, for those people who just think the other side is so much more powerful and all of that, I mean, most of the time they're just really not. And one of the things I want to make sure that I say is, because I've said it before, and that is that the narcissist is actually the most scared little creature on the planet. They actually, that's the big secret. You are actually the stronger one. So if you do your homework, you will be able to turn it around and shift the dynamic. So I always say 80% of a negotiation is won before you even walk into a room. Would you agree with me or not agree with me?
100% agree. Yeah, I think the more that you can prepare and plan and get your mindset right and get the help that you need, you're much more likely to win that negotiation or to get a result that's favorable, at least in that negotiation. So many people, and I think we've probably got the media to blame for this, where we think that negotiation is some sort of gunslinger's paradise, right? We go in and shoot and ask questions later, and you know, then the bodies are lying all over the place. It's not that way at all. It's very strategic and formulaic and disciplined. And if you begin to view negotiation that way, then it becomes much easier for you to get the results that you want. If you go in and wing it, you're gonna fail, right? It's almost a guarantee. Maybe you get lucky once in 1,000, but the likelihood of you getting any great results by winging it is very low. And your thought process around, you know, the negotiation is won or lost before you even get into the room, it's so true, because you've got to make sure that you're prepared first and foremost. You've run through all the role plays, you've run through, you know, role play depositions, whatever it might be that's going through in your specific case. Know that the better that you prepare, the better that your lawyer helps you to prepare, the better that you get help, the better you're going to do. Always.
100%. I'm so glad. And I love the way you put that. What an awesome sound bite. I'm definitely using that in my podcast as one of my sound bites, what you just said there, because it is so good. And it highlights a point that I think a lot of people don't understand. You know, you can't, there's no magic wand. There's no way to just snap your fingers and turn the process around. There's no pill that you can take. There's no anything that's going to magically turn the ship around. You have to methodically plan, put it together, create your strategy, figure out what your leverage is, create your exhibit, you know, do all of the work. Do your research. Do your research for your side. Do the research for the other side. You know, figure out what the arguments are going to be. What's your best case scenario? What's your worst case scenario? What's your risk assessment? You know, you got to go through the whole thing. That is not something that you can just be done with a snap of your fingers and turn it around and have them begging at your feet. You can have them begging at your feet, but it takes work.
Mm-hmm. It's not without a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, you can do it though. It can, you absolutely can. I mean, there is a winning methodology.
Well, and I think your course is a great starting point for that, right? Like go do the work, go read the course, go understand the material, know what you have to do, right? You lay it out all so well. Go, it's there. Go do it, right? It's not expensive. It's going to help you get better. It's going to help you get better prepared. And then at least you know, okay, what's coming? How do I need to prepare for this? It's available to you right now. So go do it. Go prepare.
Yeah, I love that. So thank you for that. So I want to ask you this question because I love this. In researching you, one of the things I came across that you say very often is that negotiations come down to a human interaction. And even though you're coming down to a human interaction with a narcissist, they're still a human, even though you might not think they are. So what do you mean by that, and how can they use that to their benefit?
Know that everyone that you're dealing with is still subject to all of the potential weaknesses that other humans are subject to. Unless this person that you're dealing with is a clinically diagnosed sociopath, then you're probably still dealing with someone who has stress, who has sadness, who has kindness even in them. And I know it's probably hard to see, but it's the potential for it being there is still there. And so recognize that there's, with negotiation, with everything that you're going through right now, you're still dealing with another person. And when you're going into the negotiation, know that you still have the ability to influence that person based on all of the biases that you might have or another person might have. And understanding that there is bias is a really big deal. And understanding, look, there's a fear of loss here, right? We all have that fear of loss bias. So for example, we know based on research that, and this isn't research that we've done, this is public research that's available. We know that the emotional pull of the fear of loss is greater than the emotional pull of the potential of gain, almost two times as great, right? So if I had to say to you, Rebecca, hey, Rebecca, if you do this thing, I'll give you 200 grand. Or I could say to you, hey, Rebecca, if you don't do this thing, you're going to lose out on 200 grand. The likelihood of you choosing option B in that circumstance is significantly higher. Because most people have this fear of loss mentality that they go into. So know that every interaction that you have is still with another human. And knowing that helps you to understand, okay, this person is still statistically, at least, susceptible to bias. They're still susceptible to fear. They're still susceptible to loss. All of those things still exist. And so I can use those as points of influence or points of persuasion in the conversation, in the discussion, to ensure that I build my leverage and I build my power in that negotiation. We go into negotiations oftentimes thinking that we're less powerful or we have less leverage than the counterparty. And sometimes that's true, but we can build power and build leverage simply by understanding that these people are susceptible to these things. So do the research that's required to make sure that you know you can build your power.
Oh, that is so awesome. I didn't want to interrupt, but I'm like, yes, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. I love it. Okay, so I just am in the middle of reading this fantastic book by Tim Ferriss called Tools of Titans. I don't know if you've read it, but it's so good. But he has every single person tell what their spirit animal is. And I thought that was such a really cool idea that I'm starting to ask people who come on my show, what's your spirit animal?
Oh, man. What would I be? I think I'd be a bear.
A bear. And why is that?
I plan. So I think bears plan, right? Bears plan for winter. They store up whatever they need to hibernate, all of that kind of stuff. So I think I'm a planner, but also I have the ability to be vicious when I need to be vicious, or be calm when I need to be calm. Bears are great parents. They raise their cubs to be successful and do what they need to do to survive and succeed. And so I think for those reasons, I'd probably be a bear.
I love it. Love it. And what's the best book you've read lately?
The best book, in fact, I have it right next to me. The best book I just finished is a book called Understanding the Brain by John Dowling. And it goes through giving you a breakdown of cells, behavior, and cognition. And it's, I'm not a psychologist or a psychotherapist or anything like that. And so my business is to understand how people think. And I need to always upskill to determine how people's brains actually work. And so I try to do as much reading as I can on how the brain works. And this is like like science for jocks sort of stuff, which is really nice for me because most of the stuff goes over my head.
That's really cool. I love it. Okay. So where can people learn more about you, Mark?
The easiest place to find more about me is on our website, which is www.negotiations.ninja, or you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm very active on social media. My target market is all B2B, so I'm on LinkedIn a lot. And we'd love for you to come over to our podcast and listen to our podcast as well. But more importantly, we really want you to be prepared for your negotiations. So if you're going through a difficult time right now and you're going through trauma and you're considering going down this road of divorce, please buy Rebecca's course. Please ensure that you are fully prepared for this and just make sure that you've got the help that you need.
Thank you so much. And I didn't tell him to say that, but I really appreciate that.
We can sort out the fee for that later. No, I'm kidding. No, so for all the listeners that are listening, we didn't talk about that. The reason that I'm saying that is because you need help. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If someone's offering you help and it's going to help you get through this, take the help.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mark.
I appreciate being on. Thank you so much. It's an honor. And continue to do all the amazing things that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.